Ministry here. Begin the 48th year. And I have been a member of the church here for over 54 years, and I remember back, way back in about 1974, right around 1974, our first pastor, we've only had two pastors in the history of our church, our first pastor, Charles Ware, was invited to go to Jamaica to have some meetings there and preach. And he said, "Bloom, I want you to preach for me when I'm gone." And so I got nervous. I got in the Word of God. I said, my, what am I going to preach on? And I was reading in the book that I want to preach to you on right now. It's the book of Joshua and chapter 1. And I was reading in there, and God dealt with me and spoke to my heart around that time. And I became a pastor of this church in 1978, and we had our first wave of growth from 1978 to 1984. But the Lord had to prune some things out of my life. I had the wrong Bible I was using. He had to prune that out. That was huge. And get some things out of our life as a church. And so then, after that wave of growth, we had another great wave of growth from 1986 to 1996. And then a third great wave of growth came from 2000 to 2012. And in 2018, we really began focusing on the theme of our church. The theme of our church is on building lives on solid foundations. And I was talking to a couple the other day, and the man is involved in construction. I'm not particularly gifted in that area of construction. My wife can testify to that. Brother Joe can too. But he was into construction, and I said to the couple, I said, "You know, I'm into construction like you are, but it's a different kind of construction. We're seeking to build lives on solid foundations." And they were looking to buy a house and land and or rent, and I was saying, you need some things before you get your land and before you get your house. You need to build your life on the right spiritual foundation. And by the way, one of those foundations is holy matrimony. If people are living together, they need to be married, and they need to understand what marriage is. We're living in a society that is very ignorant of these things. And so we talked about that, and that's what we've been focusing in on here. And of course, the main foundation that is the foundation of all foundations is Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you built your life on that foundation? Because if you haven't, one day the ground's going to give out from under you. One day there's going to be an earthquake, and you're going to lose your soul, and it's going to go right down into hell. I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm so glad in 1967 I built my life on the foundation of Jesus Christ as my Savior. He paid for my sins. And have you done that? If not, He invites you to come to Him and to trust Him. And so I'm saying, at the end of 2023 and the beginning of 2024, I believe that we've entered into a fourth great wave of growth and outreach in our church. We've had this year 85 baptisms so far. But as we come into our fall campaign starting in October, it's going to be with the theme of bringing in the harvest. Bring in the harvest. And so as I think about bringing in the harvest, I'm going back to when I first talked to Pastor Ware about the scripture God gave me to preach on while he was in Jamaica. And I want you to turn there. It's in Joshua chapter 1. 1974, I told him about this. And I'd like to go there this morning and preach from Joshua and chapter 1. And I want to talk to you about the fact that if you're a born-again Christian, you can bring in a harvest with revival. You can bring in a harvest with revival. And I'd like you to notice what it says in Joshua 1. We'll just read verses 1 and 2 first of all. We're going to go through verse 5, but just 1 and 2. I'll read it. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." And I remember reading that, and it was like God just lifted the words right out of the page. And it was like saying, you know, you've been the minister to the senior pastor, you've been his helper, and you've done it all these years about you know, I don't know how many years it was then, but I wound up being with him a number of years. And you're going to take over. And I told the senior pastor that when he got back from Jamaica. I said, look, God gave me this scripture. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, you, Joshua, you take this people and you go into the promised land. I've given. And my friend, best friend and senior pastor said at that time, he said, Bloom, I'm not dead yet. Boom, I'm not dead yet. And I was just sharing with, little did he know and little did I know, that was about 1974, about 4 years later. Not saying I'm a prophet, I'm just saying this was in the Word of God, and I shared with him. And 4 years later, I went to Florida for a few months to help my wife out and take over some apartments for my father-in-law and manage them for him. My wife was having physical problems, couldn't go up and down stairs because of pregnancy. And we stayed there. We didn't even stay there more than maybe a year. The senior pastor said, Bloom, I'm moving to Washington, D.C. I've been called to pastor. And I believe God's going to bless in Scranton. And he wanted to challenge me with coming to Scranton. And I did. I came back here in October of 1978. And so interesting where it said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And so, you know, God gave me that desire to preach the Word of God and to help people to inherit the blessings that God had for them. And I had that desire back in 1978. And you know, last I checked out, it's a few years since then. It's 2024. But guess what? I still have that burning desire. That burning desire in the heart to see God's people inherit the promise. And what I want to say is you can have a harvest during this harvest time with revival because you have promises of God to help you get that harvest. And I want you to see in Joshua chapter 1, and look with me again at verse 2, and then we'll go forward. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, get this, all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your land. It says, nobody will be able to stand against you. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'll help you have that land. By the way, that land is a literal land in the promised land. Do you know that? Do you know that God promised that land to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? That God made a land. He's never revoked that land contract. It is not the Palestinians' land or the Philistines' land. It is not Hamas's land. It's not Hezbollah's land. It's not Iran's land. It's not the Ishmaelites' land or the Egyptians' land. It is promised to the children of Israel. And notice he says it's from Lebanon in the north, okay, and then in the south, all along the Mediterranean Sea, the River of Egypt, which is south, and the Lebanon, which is north, and all the way over to the river called the Euphrates River. Do you know that Israel only has about the size of New Jersey right now over there, a little sliver of that promised land? It goes all the way. You know, you hear about the river to the sea is for the, you know, listen, all the way from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea is Israel. All the way from the River of Egypt up to Lebanon is Israel's land. And I got news for you. You're going to see some wars, and they're going to take that land. I believe they're going to take that land, and right now we're in the midst of all of that going on. You watch, and you'll see it happen. But you see, we're not Israel. If you're a child of God, you're in the bride of Christ, made up of Jews and Gentiles. But Joshua is the same name of Jesus. And your Joshua that leads you to inherit your blessing are promised to you if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. See, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I was just hoping to be saved from going to hell. I was just hoping to go to heaven. I was just hoping to escape the wrath of God. And thank God he did all of that. But I didn't realize the tremendous riches that I had because I was now united to Jesus Christ. You see? It was like my wife. When she married me, she didn't realize the riches that she would inherit. Her father had gold literally on his bathroom. It wasn't pure gold, but he had, beautiful house. And she moved in with me. I can't believe she did this. I'm embarrassed. But anyway, down there West Palm Beach, Florida, he lived. His house was right by where Prince Charles played polo, you know, in the Acres down there in Wellington. That's where his house was. And later on, but she came up to live with me in sunny Scranton. And you know what? I am rich. Amen? I am rich. Can I get an amen? I am rich. I have all of the riches that come to a person when you're united to Jesus Christ. And I find out that many believers are like the children of Israel. They have these riches, they have the promised land, and it's much bigger than a little sliver in New Jersey, but they're living very low lives. They're living as though they're poor. They're like this Native American that inherited land in Oklahoma. He never realized he had oil wells under his house. He could tap into it. He was living like a pauper. And that's the way a lot of believers are. And I'm just saying that you have promises of God that will help you to inherit the blessings that the Lord has for you. And he wants you to claim those promises just like he gave those promises to Joshua. And Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, one of the promises when God called me to be a pastor stuck with me. It says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will not fail thee or forsake thee." You know why he put that in there? Because when you go about to take what God has given you, the devil will fight you. People will fight you that the devil will use. I believe we need to take our government back. Amen. I believe the globalists have stolen our government. I believe that the assassinations on the true president are not a mistake or an accident. I don't believe Iran is doing it or some foreign actor. I believe it's people within the government that are colluding with globalists. And I am just saying to you, as a child of God, you represent another country, heavenly Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our kingdom is not of this world. And people will oppose you if you're doing something good. They'll not oppose you just for teaching something good or believing something good. They will oppose you when you step out and claim the promises of God and act on them and do something good. I like what our first pastor used to say. He'd say, "Your faith has a foundation, the promises of God. But your faith has to have feet. You've got to step out and claim the promises of God and walk according to what the Bible says. And then your faith has to fight against Satan and you will be opposed by the devil." But he said, "I will be with you. No man will be able to stand against you." And I remember becoming a young pastor. I had people stand against my preaching, stand against my teaching, and so forth and so on. And I used to say what I heard an older man say, "I've not been called to be a dictator, but I've just been called to see nobody else is." And I just did what God wanted me to do. And I believe that is all God asked you to do. You just listen to me, whether it's in your home, whether it's in the church, whether it's at your job. You just need to claim God's promises and step out in faith, and you can bring in a harvest with revival and getting back to God because you have the promises. Just like Joshua had promises, you have the promises of Almighty God. But number two, I want you to see another thing in verse 6. Look at verse 6. It says, "Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou," that's Joshua, "divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Now God is saying to Joshua, look it, I have given this land to God's people, and you need to be strong because you're going to help these people get the land that I want them to have. So you've got to be strong to do that. By the way, I see Benjamin Netanyahu over there, and I'm thankful he's not surrendering and just giving up and giving back. He's doing what he needs to do. I mean, the Biden administration trying to get them to give in and to surrender and accusing them of all kinds of things that they're not really doing. I'm just saying to you, people will try to attack you for doing right. But you need to possess your possessions that Jesus wants you to have. And somebody has said that the Christian life is finding out what you already have been promised by the Lord and claiming it or possessing it by faith. You need to read the Word of God and see all the blessings that you have, and then you need to claim it or possess it by faith. And a lot of people, you know, they do that and they go out and they say, "I claim it by faith. I've got these blessings. The Lord has given me these blessings." And then they have problems and they have trials and they have a time of waiting and it doesn't happen. And you know what I tell people? You not only need faith to possess God's promises, but you need patience. I just said I've been here 47 years. I've been praying for revival. I've been praying that we would break through in Scranton and see greater things done in our day than the days of Billy Sunday. But you've got to have patience to possess the promises of God. And by the way, that's in Hebrews chapter 10, 35 and 36. I'll read it. It says, "Cast not away your confidence." What's that, faith? Your confidence. What is faith? It's a confidence in God and His Word based upon hearing. "Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after having done the will of God, you might receive the promise." I just had one of our bus people just tell me, "I had a goal for this week, I didn't make it. I had another goal, the same goal, I didn't make it. I had a goal. He said, "Pastor, today I made my goal." I said, "Thank God for that." You see, some people have a goal and it doesn't happen, they just give it up. Listen, if God has given you something and given you a promise, then you need to claim that by faith. But you need patience in order to inherit that promise. And what I'm saying to you is, look at Joshua. He knew the promises of God that they would inherit the promised land. But at a place called Kadesh Barnea, Joshua went out as one of the 12 spies to check out the land. And the spies came back and said, "Oh, this is a great land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's got pomegranates. It's got grapes. I mean, look at the size of these grapes." They were carrying the grapes on a pole. "This is a great land." What's the promise? What's the problem? 10 of the spies said, "It's a great land, but we can't inherit it because the people of the land are giants. They are huge. We can't get this land." And 2 of the spies said, "Oh, yes, we can, because God will help us to inherit the land." That was Joshua and the other spy that believed God. But you know, they didn't get the land because the people rebelled and they said, "We can't get it," and they would not do it. And so God said, "Okay, that's it. Too many times you've not trusted me. I am going to let you wander." And they wandered a total of 40 years in the wilderness. They were Jewish people wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. Somebody said, why did they wander that long? Well, they were Jewish people. Somebody dropped a quarter, somebody said. And they, no, not really. I'm just kidding. But anyway, I'm just saying they were God's chosen people, but they didn't believe God. By the way, can I say something to you? You can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for whatever reason, you don't accept it and you don't believe it, you will never inherit heaven. You will never go to heaven. And I'm not talking about Charlene's daughter. You will not go to heaven. You will not go there. You will miss out. You need to believe and trust in an invisible heavenly Joshua. And so many people, because he's invisible, because they're looking at the visible, they're looking at the here and now, they reject it. And God said over and over and over again, I have promised you Israel, this land. And now you're saying we can't have it. And so I'm going to never give it to you. You're never going to get it. You're going to die in this wilderness. But guess what? He said, Joshua, you're going to go in. And the other spy, you're going to go in. Because not only did they have the promises of God, but number two, because they possessed those promises by faith and they exercised, get this, they exercised patience and they stayed with it. Now you say, who was that other spy? His name was Caleb. Caleb, bold in faith, that meant. So he had faith and Joshua had faith and they waited, listen, 40 years, and now Joshua is told, you're going to take the children of Israel into the land. Have you ever stuck with something God promised you until you got it and it became a reality in your life? That's what he wants you to do, to possess the promises of God. And I'm talking about the work that God's called me to do here. He's kept me going. Because, A, you could have patience, but if you can't cut the mustard, how can you possess the promises of God, right? It's been 47 years since I had these things. But guess what? God's preserved me. I'm still here. And you know what? I got a Caleb here with me, too. Because remember, Caleb was 85 years of age. And he said, I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. And I can go. And he proved it. He went up and fought the giants and kicked them out of the mount there in Horeb. And he, Hebron. And he took over that mountain and gave it to his children. And we've got a Caleb here, and his name is Joe Slobodnik. Are you 85, Joe? No, he's not 85. He's my age. He's my age. But anyway, he's got that same faith. And God's preserved him alive. He eats healthy. And God's preserved, he's eating healthy. And God's preserved him alive all these years. And I'm just saying that you can bring in a harvest with God's revival. If you realize, number one, because you have the promises of God. Number two, because you have possessions that God will help you to inherit. And one of the things I would ask God for, get this, is married people who would both be believers in the Lord and they would show off what a godly home is all about. A husband and a wife doing what God wants them to do. And when I do marriage counsel, I talk to a husband, a wife, have them do Bible study from the Word of God to find out what the home is supposed to be about. Because I found out most people are totally ignorant. First of all, they don't even know what a covenant of marriage is. And they're not even married. They're trying to live together, not be married. That is not going to work. That is just a monogamous fornicator. That's not going to work. And I like what Joshua said. He said in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need people that have godly homes. And I've seen God bring about godly marriages under my ministry, children being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, like the Bible said, children being raised with parents that are married and parents that are serving the Lord together. Boy, that's a blessing. We were out at the Robas and having our school outing, and Miss Angela Bajeski was there with her the soloist here that sang, she was here with her family, there, I should say, at the park, and with her younger kids. And she was telling me about how, you know, her and her husband worked together. And she said, I'll say something to the kids. And she said, one of my kids, I won't say which one, disrespected me. And she said, okay, all right, well, when Father gets home, I will talk to him about it. And Dad got home, and he said, okay, you're not only going to do the work she told you to do, but you're going to have another day, and you're going to work that day. And he doubled down on what she said. She said, man, I'm so glad my husband had my back, and he's a good example, and he's leading them in the home. And so they have that. And then they have Christian school. They do the home school. They have the Christian school. They work with our Christian school here. And so, you know what? We need a threefold cord: the home, the school, and the church. And she said, you know what? She said, my oldest son, he'll go to youth group, hear the youth pastor preach, and he gets blessed from the messages he preached. He'll go back and tell me about those messages. And she said, I'm so glad we have a church with a teen youth ministry. I'm so glad I got a marriage with a husband and I that we agree. Because can two walk together, beloved, except they be what? Agreed. That we agree. Our first pastor used to say, you should have a marriage with only one will in the marriage. One will. It's not the husband's will or the wife's will. It's God's will. We're trying to find out what God wants. And when you can see that, you can have unity. And so, you know, the home, the church, and the school all going the same way. And what a blessing that is. It's sad when homes are not doing that, when they're divided against themselves. And that's what they're trying to do to our country. And we need patience, you see, to possess godly marriages. We need patience to possess godly homes and families. We need that. And we need to possess not only godly homes and families, but we need to possess what God promised us, Jesus, our heavenly Joshua, if we go out with the great commission of Jesus Christ. He says, first of all, you need to go out in the world to preach the gospel. Then you need to preach the gospel and invite people to accept Jesus Christ. And then when they get saved, you need to baptize those people. And then when you baptize them, you need to teach them to go out and do that. And I was so encouraged with this semester. We have a new soul winning training semester, and I said, wow, we want to do that. And Miss Awilda at work led a co-worker to the Lord named Joe. He came and got baptized because he got saved. And if you get saved, you should come down the aisle and get baptized. Amen. That's what God wants. And he got baptized. He joined the church. He'd been a Catholic all his life, but he joined the Baptist church. And I visited him a few times. And I began to pray, who can I take with me? Who? Amen and amen. Who can I take with me that they can go out? And Joe came to my mind, and I went over and visited him one night, and he said, Pastor, I will go. I'll go with you. And I went out with him last Thursday night, and it was a blessing. We had such a good time. Something he said, Wilda, he said, Pastor, he said, I want to thank you. He said, because you led a Wilda to the Lord. And she made it clear so that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I thought, that's exactly what I want to inherit. That's exactly the Great Commission. And I'm saying, that's what I'm here for, to possess my possessions. But how about you? What are you here for? You here just doing your own thing? Oh, no, you should be following Jesus just like they followed Joshua into the Jordan River and up the other side and into the Promised Land. I'm saying you can bring in a harvest with revival if you'll get back to what God wants, because you have the promises for it, because you have the possessions for it, and God wants you to do that. And number three, because you have a plan. You have a plan. I like what Jack Hiles said. I've shared it many times. A young college student said, Brother Hiles, can you tell me the will of God for my life? I want to know the will of God for my life. And Dr. Jack Hiles took a Bible, King James Bible. He said, I just happen to have a copy of it right here. And that's exactly what it says in Joshua. I want you to notice verse 7 and verse 8. I'll read it. You follow. It says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. By the way, can I say something? If you follow God's plan in this book, you're going to have to be strong. And you're going to have to be courageous. You say, why? Because many people aren't following God's blueprint. They're not following God's plan. And if you want to follow it, you're going to have to be strong. So he said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Let me tell you something. People will try to pressure you away from principles. Did you hear me? People will try to pressure you away from principles of God's word, which is his plan for your life. Or people will try to pleasure you away. You know what pleasure are. There are pleasures in sin for a season. But you're always going to have to come back to this, because this doesn't change. So I just decided I'm going to stay with this. I'm going to stay with this. And I'm going to stay with this old black book right here. I'm going to stay with it, Mickey, Sunday, every day. And you need to keep coming and keep in that book. Get him back here. And that's what we need. And so the Bible says that you and I have a plan, and don't be afraid to stand for it. You say, but what if a family member, what if I have a daughter, and she said, Dad, I'm a homosexual, and I'm going to get married to so-and-so. And you say as a dad, well, I'm not going to be there. And I'm not recognizing that marriage. Because that's an abomination to Almighty God. Yeah, if somebody else, well, I'm a transsexual. What's that? Well, I mutilated my body, my God-given body. He made me a man, but I mutilated. Now I'm a woman. Oh, no, you're not. You're just a mess. You'll never make yourself a woman. You can't make what God made. Only God can make a woman. And only God can make a man. And yet there are people that are doing that, and it needs to be stood against. By the way, Kamala is all for it, and so is Walls. And if you vote for them, you are wrong. It's not a matter of right versus left. It's right versus wrong. Good versus evil. I'm just saying, I have a plan, and I'm going to follow this book right here, and I'm going to preach this book right here. And that's what God told Joshua. You do that. You preach this book right here, Joshua. And he said, I'll bless you. Will everybody love it? Will everybody follow it? No, but those that do, they'll prosper. Because you can't improve on God's word. You say, well, you mean a man is to lead his wife and love his wife like Christ loved the church? Yeah, that's what he says. The woman is to reverence her husband and to submit to him, that he would have the final say. Yeah, that's what God says. And I'm just saying that God wants you to work out that plan in your life, and it's what the Word of God teaches, and you're going to get hit for it. I just had one of our members just tell me. Well, I wanted a number of her relatives. She said, you can't get the number. I can't get it. I said, well, what do you mean you can't get the number? Well, they changed the number. They won't give it to me. Why won't they give it to you? Well, basically, she didn't say this, but I'll say it, because she won't go out drinking and gambling with this relative. And so she's being accused of what they accused the early church of. You know what the Jewish people accused Christians of in the early church? They said, you're a weird cult in Judaism. You're not really true Judaism. You're a cult. You're this weird group. And they lied about them and said things about them that were lies. And that'll happen to you. It can happen to you. The Bible says why? Because you don't run with them to the same excess of riot. That's what Peter wrote. You don't do what you used to do, you see. And they don't like that. That's very convicting. And so I'm just saying you can, though, bring in a harvest with revival by getting back to God, because you have the promises of God, because you have the possessions that you can possess those things, and because you have a plan. That's this book right here that God will bless in people's lives. And number four, because you've got God's presence. Look what it says in verse 9. This is really good. He says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, because what? The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." We have the presence of God with us. Now, I remember when I felt God was calling me to be a pastor, and I was afraid to be a pastor. You know why? Because I saw pastors get roasted at people's houses at dinner time. I remember visiting a house, the pastor got roasted. I remember pastors getting into persecution, all kinds of troubles, and I was like, man, I don't want that kind of a lifestyle. And number two, I don't like standing up in front of people and preaching. I'm shy. I can't handle that. I don't want that. But you know what? The words jumped out of the page. Have not I commanded thee? I said, whoa, if God's commanded me, that means he's going to be with me. And you know what? If this thing is real that we're preaching here, if Jesus Christ is real, heaven is real, hell is real, the Bible is real, then God's presence will go with you. And he wants you to be with him, though. He said in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, go. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, our heavenly Joshua. So go. You don't need permission. Go. I told my Sunday school class, I'll tell you, I was out there soul winning yesterday and witnessing and visiting and went to a place in Oliphant, and it's a project up there, and I was saying there was these young Puerto Rican girls, pretty girls, and there was these about five African-American teen boys about 15 years old, and they're not where they live, they're just hanging around these apartments. And a father of a young kid that I've been working with, the father says to me, "Oh, these guys, he said, I've got diabetes right now, and I've had problems. I can't do like I used to do, but I used to watch over this place." And I said, "Well, what's going on?" And he said, "The parents aren't home, and these guys are there, and all this." So I saw the guys walking, and I come up to the guy who's the leader of the group, and I said, "Can I ask you two quick spiritual questions?" And he said, "Sure." And I asked him, "You know, if you were to die today, are you sure you go to heaven 100%? And he gave me his answer. I said, "And if you were to stand before God, what would you say?" And he gave me his answer. "You know, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell God?" He gave me his answer. He didn't have a clue. He didn't understand it. And I said, "Can I tell you what happened to me?" And, "Oh, yeah." So I went through the whole gospel. And I said, "Now, if you want to pray to receive Christ," I said, "you can." I just talked to him, but all the friends were around him. And I started leading them in prayer. And all out loud, all five boys prayed to receive Christ. And that father behind me was like, "That was the most beautiful thing." And I said, "Yeah, these guys don't have a clue. They don't know. They're just teenage boys. They're just looking for fornication. It's wrong. They don't know what is what. They need to know the light of the world. They need to know Jesus Christ." You know, Christians are cursing the darkness, but we don't light the candle. Instead of criticizing, you need to be out there gospelizing. You have the message. I have the message. And we've got the plan. And we have the possessions that God wants us to possess in the plan. And we've got the promises of God. And we have the promise of God's presence that will go. Because what does Jesus say? He said in Matthew 28, "If you'll do this," he said, "and lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world." You say, "But things are getting worse and worse. The modern culture is so bad." Yeah, but God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. His gospel is still the power of God. And he said, I will go with you. And he will, if you will get with his plan. And that's what he wants you to do. Amen. And so I'm just saying, his presence. You can have a harvest because you have the promises. You have the possessions. You have a plan. You have God's presence. Lastly, because you have God's people. Look with me at verse 16 and 17 of Joshua 1. I'll read it. Here's what it says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we'll hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. And, you know, if anybody rebels, they're going to get in trouble. We believe that. Now, I want to just say something to you. I found something out when I became a pastor. Thank God for that. I don't have to do it alone. Oh, I may have to stand alone at certain times, but I don't have to do it alone. Remember Saul when he was called to be king of Israel? Remember that guy? And it said that a band of men were touched by the Lord, and they followed Saul, and they helped Saul. Thank God for godly men who get touched to follow the man of God as he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they want to see an example. They want to see it lived out. And that's what it's saying here. You know, only the Lord thy God be with thee. He'll be with you if you do what he says. But if you do what he says, God will be with you. And he'll give you people. Listen to me. He'll give you people. It may take time, but he'll give you people. They'll do what you're doing. And we need more of them today. And I lay it right at our charge. We have failed. America's going to hell in a handbasket. God's people have failed. He said, occupy till I come. And we haven't done it like we should. And I'm saying we need to get the promises. We need to get a hold of our possessions. Follow the plan of God and the word of God, you see. And we need to have the presence of God with us and blessing us. And God will give us the people. He'll give us the people that will follow. That David had his mighty men that went with him. And God will give you people. Thank God. I have had a lot of demons in my life, but I have also had a lot of deacons. And thank God for deacons. Thank God for our deacons that we have. You say, how did you get them? Possess the possessions. Follow the plan. Be patient. And God will give you the blessings. Same thing with a Christian marriage. Stay with it yourself. Stay with God's plan. And God will give you what you need if you're faithful. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about you can.